Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.
Oh my goodness gracious, what is going on, guys? For the first time in a month, AEW Dynamite was back live on TNT from Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. I am the Solomonster. Thank you for joining me here tonight. As you can see, we're doing things a little bit differently. I hope you enjoy it. I hope this is something that you guys can leave some positive feedback for. Hit that like button here on this review as we get going here tonight. My hair is ridiculous. I look like I'm 5 years old. I can't take this anymore. I don't know what to do. But look, it could be a lot worse, I guess, right? I could have no hair on my head. I could be thinning. I could be balding. I'm not there yet. But anyway, I figured we'd do things a little bit different here tonight. Maybe incorporate some video into the stream for a change. We got people filtering in here to the chat. So I want everybody to come on in and join in the party here tonight for what I thought was actually a very enjoyable episode of AEW Dynamite on TNT. Of course, they were live tonight. But this was, you know, this was a show tonight. They were back live, first time in over a month. Dynamite was live. They had people in the crowd. They were socially distancing. We had pyro. We hadn't seen pyro on TV in a while. We had the original announce team back, all three men, Jim Ross, Excalibur, and Tony Schiavone, all back together again for the first time in many weeks. This was a Dynamite show that felt more normal, I guess. It almost felt, not that it was back to normal, but it felt like more of a normal show than we've had in a very long time, which I appreciated. You know, it just felt a little bit more lively than a lot of the shows we were getting when they were at the training facility in Georgia. So I think the overall feel of the show was a big improvement. I thought tonight's show was very good, and that main event was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that match, even though we had attempted murder on several occasions. We had a couple of attempted murder attempts in that main event, but I enjoyed it. We're going to go through the whole show here in a second. Hit that sub button if you have not already done so. If you are not subscribed to the channel, hit that sub button so that we got super chats filtering, and I'm going to be reading those throughout the night. But hit that sub button and make sure your alerts are turned on. That way, when a new stream goes up or a new upload, you'll be alerted about it. Otherwise, you won't know. I'll put new content up and you guys won't know. So hit that notifications. Make sure it's flipped into the on position. And yes, super chats are open. You're going to see some of them. They're already popping up on screen. I'm going to be reading them. You send a super chat in, I will acknowledge you here on the air. All the usual donations that you guys are aware of. We have a new one for $7, the $7 Vader. It's the peanut butter Vader donation. So for those of you who want to do the $7 peanut butter Vader super chat, that is in there. All of the usual ones. You can go into the description down below. You'll see some of the special amounts. And feel free. I'm not going to stop you. Feel free. Somebody in the chat just said I look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. What do you want me to do? I mean, you know, the only thing I can do is I can shave my... I'm not going to shave my head bald. I think my head looks like a giant egg. I can't do that. But this is getting out of control. I feel like a girl. I got to go like this. This is not going to work. What am I going to look like in 6 weeks? Part of the reason I wanted to go on camera, it's almost like I'm documenting history. In 6 weeks, I wonder what I'm going to look like. I figure I may as well just broadcast live so you guys can see the evolution. Soon the hair will be down to here. Then it'll be down to here. Maybe tie it back in like a ponytail or something, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, you can vote right now in the polls on Twitter. At Solomonster is my handle. You can see it in the artwork. It's there somewhere. Hopefully the video is not lagging. If it is, hopefully it'll stop. So you guys will let me know if it's lagging too much, if it's in and out. Hopefully you guys will fill me in on that. But you see the Twitter handle is on there, at Solomonster. Vote in the Dynamite poll, vote in the NXT poll. I will flash the results a little bit later on. We'll see what you guys thought of tonight's shows. We had super chats coming in before I even went live here on the stream. So I think it would be only appropriate for me to go ahead and just acknowledge. Boy, you guys are something else, man. You guys got a lot of comments. We got a lot of smart Alex here in the chat here tonight. Oh, I'm glad some of you are saying that there's no lag, because it's lagging for me, but that's probably just my computer. So as long as you guys are good to go, that's all that matters. Jackalope Music, thank you for the $5. I appreciate it. Cheeseburger 666 says Jake the Snake brought Damien back. Yes, I was very excited. I was very excited to see that. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on. Tuan Harrington, thank you for the $5 disappointed Solomonster Super Chat. Said, I loved Moxley and Kazarian. I thought it was a good showing. I thought it was a good showing for Kazarian tonight. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $5. Jake Johnson, also with the $5 drop, says, help me, I'm being harassed by Sasha Banks fans on Twitter. Hey, that's your battle, buddy. I don't want any part of that. Ryan Spies, thank you for the $2.99. And James Adair, thank you for the $5. We got a lot of them coming in fast and furious. Oh, yeah, Magician Sapphire. There we go. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Solomonster, you look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I guess so. It's better than looking like Dennis the Menace. Some people think I look like Dennis the Menace. I don't know. I don't really see it. But anyway, We'll go back to the Super Chats here as we go along through the stream. We got a lot of them coming in. Before I even get to the Dynamite show tonight, I got to mention this. We have some breaking news, some breaking AEW news tonight. AEW was fined. I'm going to read this item from you. It comes from Fightful.com. I saw it about half an hour before I went live here tonight. The ruling is in. AEW is fined $10,000 by the Maryland Athletic Commission for the Lights Out match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley back at the pay-per-view in November, Full Gear. They had that non-sanctioned match, crazy hardcore match. There was blood drawn, the whole nine yards. If you remember, there was a complaint filed by former WCW announcer Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz was so bothered by this match between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, he filed a formal complaint with the State Athletic Commission. The Athletic Commission in Maryland is known, and Kevin Nash has even said this, the Athletic Commission is known to be very strict in terms of how they enforce the rules when it comes to extreme violence, when it comes to blood, you know, blading, that sort of thing. Chris Cruz apparently was so bothered by this, he decided to snitch out AEW. He filed a formal complaint. He brought it to the Athletic Commission's attention. We now have a ruling, and I'm going to read this real quick here. It says, the consent order, and Cruz commented on this on Facebook. I want to read this to you. Said, look, the easy thing to say in response to the $10,000 fine levied on AEW by the Athletic Commission is that it's pocket change for a billionaire. I get that, but this ain't nothing. Says that it's public, or it will be on May 20th when the commission meets, and then posts the consent order on its website and distributes, easy for me to say, to all of the other athletic commissions throughout the country. Keep in mind, the next violation will result in a revocation of their license in Maryland and possible show stoppage. In the middle of a match, the commission is on notice now that others are watching their actions. This puts AEW on notice as well and embarrasses the company. By this time tomorrow, the story will have spread far and wide, and it will appear in mainstream publications. This is a black eye for AEW and for the business. I said this when the story broke several months ago, when I first learned about Chris Cruz filing this complaint. Look, I was not a fan of the match between Omega and Moxley at Full Gear. It wasn't my cup of tea. I really was not a big fan of that match at all. But when I heard that Chris Cruz filed a complaint, all I could think is, what a little snitch. What does it matter to you? Chris Cruz is like the guy that goes to his teacher. Teacher! Teacher! You forgot to give us homework! Teacher! The fuck is this guy's problem? He's filing complaints. Oh, one more complaint and AEW is going to be out of business. They're going to be in a lot of trouble. What does this guy care? Every wrestling company, WWE, AEW, they blade, they have blood in matches. This guy has to, he goes and files a complaint. And now he's very proud of the fact that he has gotten AEW in a bit of trouble. Oh my goodness, they've got a black eye. They may be, you know, they may have trouble with other athletic commissions. This guy's so proud of himself. Oh, he's going to beat his chest. This guy is so proud of himself. This guy's a fucking snitch. What does it matter to him? I don't know what this guy's malfunction is, but apparently he's very proud of himself. $10,000 is a drop in the bucket for Tony Khan. But apparently Chris Cruz is very proud. He thinks this could mean big trouble for AEW going forward. Well, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll find out. Chris Cruz, I'm telling you, Chris Cruz is like that guy in class. He's like that student. Teacher. This fucking guy. Let's go back to some of your super chat. We see some peanut butter Vader action I see in the super chats here on the stream. I love that gif. Yeah, you know what? Lebanese Scrooge. You can make a good point in the chat. It says a John Stossel clone is Chris Cruz. Eddie Mansfield made. That's a great comparison, actually, coming off that Dark Side of the Ring episode last week. This guy thinks he's the second coming of Eddie Mansfield. Unbelievable. JP5150, thank you for the $5. Says, oh man, the Hammer of Soul has returned once again. Looking forward to this review. Jacob Donnelly with the $5. Psycho Jet Black, thank you for the $2. Says, your hair makes you look like a Ken doll. I don't know if I should be offended by that or if I take that as a compliment. Gawaki Solodobe, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Thank you for the sub. And Gavin Amy, thank you for the $6. We'll agree that AEW was a better show and looked like a normal live show. And also, Mr. Solomon looks like a young Bryan Danielson. Here we go again. Here we go again with the Bryan Danielson comparisons. I'm not offended. You know, I used to hear that all the time. I used to go to the Ring of Honor shows. I told this story. I went to the Ring of Honor shows years ago at the Manhattan Center. They were in security. They worked for the company. But I would go to walk in and they would rip my ticket. They would look at me. They go, oh, look, Baby Dragon is here. Be like, oh, yeah. Very funny. Very funny, guys. It's not like the Halloween where I went out dressed as Hulk Hogan. And the bouncer at the bar said, boy, you look like... So who put Hulk Hogan in the dryer? Are you kidding me? I got biceps like the Hulkster. We had Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur reunited for the first time in over a month on commentary. I am going to miss Chris Jericho and Tony Schiavone. I mean, low-key, I thought they were one of the best announced teams in years in wrestling. Honestly, they had great chemistry. They work well together. Jericho's a natural at it. You know, obviously, he's going to get back into the wrestling aspect of it now. But hopefully, you know, at some point, maybe we'll get to see them reunited again. I really did enjoy Tony and Jericho on commentary together. Minor criticism. I just enjoyed them working together, but we got the three-man booth back tonight. JR mentioned, Jim Ross mentioned where they were. He said, everybody's been tested. You know how Jim Ross gets sometimes. He gets very testy. Everybody's been tested. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's okay. You know what? I appreciate the fact they at least acknowledge what's going on TV. WWE doesn't do it. WWE does not mention, you know, COVID. They don't mention pandemic. They don't mention virus. They don't mention anything. You would never know anything was wrong. You would never know anything was going on in WWE. It is a banned word, like the name Roman Reigns. It is banned terminology from the television show. What was it a few months ago? I think of WrestleMania. Or it was around the time of WrestleMania on TV. They were referring to it as the situation. As everybody knows, with the situation going on. I'm like, the situation? Why didn't you say it? Just call it what it is. Pandemic. You don't have to say virus or anything. Just call it pandemic. Everybody knows the situation. What is this, fucking Jersey Shore? The situation. I appreciate the fact that AEW at least calls it what it is. So they were back outside. That meant Pyro. Joey Janela was out first. He had Pyro. Cody was out next. He had Pyro. It was a big Pyro celebration at Daly's Place, which is an open-air building. Technically, it's technically an outside building. So that was cool to see. They had wrestlers in the crowd again. This is something AEW does very well. I'd like to see WWE do it. If, you know, there's a safe way to do it. Spread them out at least 6 feet apart. Hikaru Shida was out there. Sean Spears had a blowhorn. Billy Gunn was out there with his son. All the usual people. Pineapple Pete. I'll get to Pineapple Pete a little bit later on. He was out there as well. I thought it was a really good opener between Janela and Cody. I thought it was a very good match. They spilled outside at one point. You know, at Daly's Place, they have that stage. Not that high. Cody was on the stage at one point. Hit a moonsault off the stage onto Joey Janela. So that was kind of cool. We had Cody going for an inverted superplex off the top rope. Yeah, you got to focus on the high spots here. I don't care about the headlocks and the punches and the kicks. I want you guys to know about all the high spots here in this match. So he hit an inverted superplex off the top rope for a two count. Cody pulled off his weight belt, as he does in every match. And Janela blocked a crossroads attempt. Cody went for a Cody cutter. Janela turned it into a German suplex. Janela missed a moonsault. Cody came off the top rope, hit a cutter for a two count. And in the end, Cody hits the crossroads for the pin. So I thought it was a very good opener. Joey Janela, not one to pick up many wins here on this Dynamite show. But, you know, he's got his following. I guess he's more of an AEW dark guy. I don't get to watch too much of AEW dark every week. So I don't see too much Joey Janela on my TV. But I thought this was a good match. I'm going to get to your super chats, I promise you. I see him out of the corner of my eye coming in. I'll get to them in a second. I want to talk about Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is the AEW Women's Champion. We have not seen her, it feels like, in months with everything going on. We have not seen much of Nyla Rose. They had a Nyla Rose video package here showing us how dominant she's been. Nyla came out for an interview with Tony Schiavone. She yelled at Tony, berated him. Poor Tony. I mean, every week with this guy, whether it's Britt Baker, MJF, Nyla Rose, they're always picking on Tony. They're always picking on Tony Schiavone. So Nyla goes to the ring. She's going to have a match with Kenzie Page. I've never heard of Kenzie Page before. Apparently she's been trained by Dr. Tom Pritchard. And I went on her Instagram page. It says Dr. Tom Pritchard and Glenn Jacobs. I can only assume it's the Glenn Jacobs, unless there's another one that I'm not aware of. She was trained by Kane. Kane would be very disappointed in the performance he saw out of Kenzie Page here on this show. Kenzie Page did not get much in the way of offense. She was pretty much destroyed, tossed around, sent on off the top by Nyla, and finished her off with the Beast Bomb. We have no idea who, if anybody, she's going to defend the championship against at Double or Nothing. They were teasing, you know, Shida was in the crowd. Britt Baker was in the crowd. Chris Statlander was in the crowd. I don't know if that's an indication that we're going to get a four-way. Feels kind of cheap. You know, just throw all the women into one match. But otherwise, I don't know. Anyone's guess who's going to be challenging for the championship at the pay-per-view. Now, coming into the show tonight, we really didn't have a sense of too many matches other than the finals of the TNT title tournament at Double or Nothing. Now we know what the world title match is going to be. MJF has a match, but in terms of the women, we still don't know. Me personally, I'd like to see Shida get the shot. Baker doesn't make much sense. She's a heel. Nyla's a heel. Britt's doing great, you know, with the heel promo stuff. She doesn't have to be rushed into a championship match so soon. I think Nyla and Shida, that could be the match. I wouldn't mind seeing that at the pay-per-view. Let's take a look at some of your super chats. Play catch up here. Food Hive. Food Hive with the $5. Haven't heard the old Solomonster murder spot in a while. I have no idea what you're talking about. Is there a Solomonster murder spot? that sounds a little strange, but all right. Lord Frieza, thank you for the $10. You need he says you need a fade. Really? Is that what I need? I need a fade? I've never had a fade in my life. Think that would look all right? I can't stand this. You have no idea how much this is annoying me. I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But, like, it's curling in the back. I don't trust myself to cut my own hair. That's not going to happen. But anyway, hopefully everything is going well with Lord Frieza. We have Tavares Baker. Thank you for the $10. You guys are awesome. I appreciate the support. Like, you have no idea. It means a lot. I'm sure you've heard from other content creators. Numbers across the board are down right now on YouTube and all the different platforms. But still doing well. But definitely off from the peak of a month or two ago. It was quite something to log in and check the YouTube revenue and some of the other YouTube numbers, which had been up here. And in the span of a few days, it was back down here. And that's just reflective, I think, of overall interest in wrestling right now and just everything going on in the world. So the fact that you guys are contributing, I can't thank you enough for that. That means a lot to me. The Awesome Heel, thank you for the $5. My first time seeing the actual Snake on live TV. What a moment. AW using Legends the right way. Yeah, I mean, we had a Damian sighting on TV. Well, not, you know, obviously not Damian, but looked just like Damian. Mandy, thank you for the $5, Mandy. Says, writing an article for a women's lifestyle website. So we'll have to address that separately. But thank you. I appreciate the support. Triple Boy, thank you for the $5. Push Pineapple Pete. And Carlos Lugo with the $2. Anything new about the Velveteen Dream allegations? Nothing new. Have not heard anything new. Look, if the authorities have been contacted, it's in the hands of the authorities. There's not much else to say. You know, he was... I have not watched NXT. I do not know what happened on NXT, aside from the fact that apparently Karrion Kross and Scarlett had a great debut, or at least a great entrance. A lot of people were raving about it. I can't wait to watch it when we're done here. Velveteen Dream was challenging Adam Cole for the NXT Championship tonight. I don't think he won the championship, but again, I haven't watched, so I don't know. But no, nothing new. Have not heard anything new on the allegations, and for his sake, hopefully it's not true. And... Tenorio128, Daniel Bryan circa 2010. There we go again with the Daniel Bryan. You guys in the Daniel Bryan. What is up with this? We'll pick up with this in a second. MJF. We had MJF cutting a pre-tape promo. Talked about a lot of wrestlers in the company. Yeah, we have a lot of wrestlers who are almost 30 years old. A lot of near 30-year-old wrestlers. I'm 24. Not me. Although with this haircut, I look like I'm 12. But he was talking about how he's 24 years old. Gets compared a lot to people like Ric Flair and Roddy Piper and The Rock. You know, he's talking about those guys. And he says, I'm none of those people. I'm better than them. I'm MJF. And he's all healed up from his injury. The hangnail is all healed, thankfully. No more hangnail. He's going to be back in action on Impact or Dynamite. Not Impact. It's a different show. Impact wishes they had MJF. He'll be on Dynamite next week in action. But then, like magic, there he is. He's at ringside. He's got Sean Spears with him. They're sharing a drink. Tony Schiavone comes over. He's going to interview MJF. MJF tells him, back off. You're up in my face. Social distancing, Tony. Back off. Back up, buddy. And he was all, you know, mutual admiration society between Spears and MJF. All of a sudden, Tony Schiavone goes, oh, I got word from Tony Khan that at Double or Nothing, it's going to be MJF against Jungle Boy. And MJF freaks out. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Jungle Boy? Why? I mean, you know, I like Jungle Boy and all. Don't get me wrong. MJF, I thought, was poised to maybe challenge Moxley for the championship at the pay-per-view. He beat Cody. You look at the rankings right now, the men's rankings in AEW, Cody is number one. Now, MJF is not anywhere in the top five, granted, but he did beat Cody. I thought maybe that was going to be the championship match at the pay-per-view, and apparently it's going to be Jungle Boy and MJF, so whatever. I mean, it kind of came out of left field for me. Food Hive says, I look like Jesse Eisenberg. All right. Keep them coming. Keep the comparisons coming. I that's the first I've heard of that. Oz and Glorious, thank you. A split-second lag in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hopefully that has resolved itself. Hell... or heel Lucas with the $3.99. Getting ready to rock that long hair, Solomonster. It could be a good look. Could be a good look. I've never tried it before, but I'm certainly open to it. UI Khan, thank you for the $30. I very much appreciate that. This is about shout out, he says, to everybody getting ready for Ramadan. Please pray at home. Crowding mosques and endangering people's lives is not worth it. Sage advice from UI Khan. Jason Jimerson, thank you for the $7. That's the $7 peanut butter Vader super chat. Says it's peanut butter Vader time. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I have to look away from the screen when that comes up. Otherwise, I'll start cracking up laughing. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the $10. Says, thank you for not spending your airtime virtue signaling and pearl clutching about the shows going on during the pandemic. Like every other podcast and review show, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show tonight. It was a nice escape. And Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $1.99. We shall pick up with more of these here as we go along. Keep them coming, guys. I'm going to read every single one of them, so keep them coming. We had AEW champion Jon Moxley, non-title match, one-on-one against Frankie Kazarian of SCU. 67 days as the AEW champion for Jon Moxley so far is what Jim Ross told us. That was since he defeated Chris Jericho at Revolution for the championship. And only one defense so far against Jake Hager in that empty arena match a few weeks ago on Dynamite, which I didn't really think was that great. It was okay, but it wasn't that great. Really not a whole lot of excitement so far. You know, Jon Moxley's been champion since February. It's now May. Not a whole lot of excitement for his title right now. Granted, the pandemic has a lot to do with that. The pandemic has just screwed everything up. But be that as it may, I don't know. I mean, am I wrong? Am I wrong in saying that it's been a very uneventful championship run so far for Jon Moxley, match-wise, promo-wise? I don't expect him to be defending the championship on TV every week, but it just feels like there's not a whole lot of buzz around Jon Moxley, you know, being the number one guy in AEW. Hopefully they can fix that. A few months ago on Dynamite, we saw another member of SCU, Scorpio Sky, challenging Chris Jericho, who at the time was the AEW champion. They had a pretty good match on Dynamite. So now it was Frankie Kazarian's turn to step in there. Although this was non-title against Jon Moxley. I thought they had a good match. I probably enjoyed the opener with Cody and Janela more than this. But I thought they had a good match. They were teasing a knee injury at one point to Kazarian before they went to commercial break. I think he was backdropped or thrown out over the top, landed on the stage and was, you know, clutching his knee. They went to commercial. Coming back from break, X-Plex by Jon Moxley. I'm going to get to you guys in a second. I got alerts popping up here in the corner of my eye. I am going to get to that in a second. So we had an X-Plex by Moxley. Went for a diving attack. Did Moxley. Off the post. And as he's coming down, Kazarian nails him with a big boot. Missile drop kick by Kazarian, slingshot DDT for a near fall. Moxley hits a release German. Kazarian comes back right at him. Hits a backstabber. Unprettier for a two count. Puts on a knee bar. Gets a knee bar on Moxley. Traps the arms. Moxley somehow finds his way out of it. And finish here came with Kazarian, who missed a dive off the top rope. And in so doing, Jon Moxley caught him on the way down and hit him with the paradigm shift for the pin. So not surprisingly, Jon Moxley picks up the win. Soon as the match is over, the Dark Order attacks Jon Moxley and Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. I didn't see Chris Daniels out there. Maybe I missed him. But they take out everybody. All of a sudden out comes Mr. Brody Lee. He comes walking out. Lays out Jon Moxley with a discus lariat. Then we get a promo. We got a promo from Brody Lee. Says that he's here to collect on the bounty that Jon Moxley put on his own head. Dark Order are the only energy he can feel. He is not the same person anymore that he used to be. He is a leader. And he officially challenges Moxley for an AEW championship match. Moxley is laying on the ground, half beaten to death. And he grabs the mic. He says, all you had to do was ask. And Brody Lee took the championship belt with him. He stole the title. So the AEW title is currently in the possession of Mr. Brody Lee. I will say, and I think it's great that they're running with Brody Lee as a number one contender for the AEW championship. There's going to be a big spot for him. It's going to be arguably the biggest spot maybe he's ever had in his career, challenging in the main event of a pay-per-view for a championship. Never did that in WWE. It's one thing to have Chris Jericho come in. You know, they kind of built around Jericho when he first came in. They really needed that one big name. Jericho came in, and they built around him as the champion. Moxley got over. Moxley beats Jericho. He becomes the champion. What's the common thread? Both former WWE guys. I can look past that. It's a bad look, though, when you look at the lineage now of the AEW title. You've got Chris Jericho as the champion, right? WWE star. Beaten by Jon Moxley. WWE star. Now we have John. Now, even before I get to Brody Lee, Jon Moxley defends the championship on Dynamite a few weeks ago. His only title defense against who? Jake Hager. Former WWE star. Now we're going into the pay-per-view. It's going to be Jon Moxley defending against Brody Lee. Former WWE star. They got to be careful here. You can't, at some point, like, okay, at first it's okay. The guys are over enough to justify it. Hager is not. Brody Lee is not yet. At some point, you've got to give the shot to an AEW original. And whether it's Darby Allin, whether it's, now, that's one of the reasons why I was thinking and hoping it was going to be MJF challenging for the championship. You know, MJF, not exactly an AEW original. He was in MLW first, but he's kind of one of those, in a way, homegrown AEW names, like a Sammy Guevara, like a Darby Allin. I would have preferred to see MJF get the spot, even if he didn't win it. You know, they could have, you know, maybe he would have lost, but they could have extended it out. But that's one of the reasons why I was kind of hoping it would be MJF. And then we find out it's Brody Lee, and it's like, all right, well, here's another WWE star. At some point, that cycle has to come to an end, and you've got to go with somebody who's not a former WWE star, because then people are going to be criticizing AEW, and that criticism is going to be justified. At some point, it's going to be like, all right, you know, enough already. Like, we've seen this long line of WWE talent. At what point do you go with one of the younger, newer names from AEW? Like a Darby, or like an MJF. So I'd like to see them, you know, once we get past Double or Nothing, I don't expect Brody Lee to win, kind of get away from that. And let's see if we can shift things over to somebody who's not looked at as just being a former WWE guy. If for no other reason, just to shut all the people up who are inevitably going to lob that criticism at AEW, and rightfully so. It's hard to argue against it. It's the first thing I noticed, you know, when they announced this match tonight, that was the first thought that popped in my head. Here we go, another WWE star. That's... You know, I mean, four people in a row, you got to break that cycle at some point. So hopefully they'll get to an MJF, they'll get to a Darby Allin, even a Lance Archer. Now, Lance Archer has history with Jon Moxley going back to New Japan. They're giving him the big push right now. He's going up against Cody, but, you know, Lance Archer could be a formidable opponent for a Jon Moxley down the road for the championship. Let's play catch up here with some of your super chats. We got a lot more left to go. So we are far from done here. Tamara Davis, thank you for the $5. Said AEW getting fined is the most wrestling thing to happen in a very long time. I don't think it's an embarrassment. However, it is an expensive as hell. Well, I mean, $10,000. Again, when you're a billionaire, I don't know that $10,000 is necessarily all that big of a deal. I kind of agree. I don't necessarily look at it as a negative thing. I kind of look at it as they can spin this in a way that makes it seem like they are sort of this renegade, which they're not, but they can spin it like they're some kind of renegade, hardcore type of promotion. There's always a way to spin things to make yourself look cooler. Chris Cruz, man. I don't know what his deal is. Lord Frieza, thank you for the $1.99. Saul Marquez, thank you for the $2. says I look funny and I need a haircut. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Suave Titan, how did Sammy not die after being run down? Yeah, that was a little scary. CJ La Chapelle, shout out to CJ, one of the wrenches in the chat, one of the mods. So my thanks to him for helping out every week. Wanted to know my thoughts on whether or not I think referee Aubrey Edwards is too distracting. Hey, Jason Nibs, thank you for the $60, man. Appreciate that. Solid Monster Hulkamania Super Chat. Jason is a big supporter every week. Thank you, my friend. I think Aubrey Edwards can be... You know what I think about Aubrey Edwards? I think Aubrey Edwards is... You know, she's a very good referee. My issue with Aubrey Edwards, if you've ever listened to the AEW Uncensored podcast, I don't listen to all of them, but I've heard a few of them, and she's on there with Tony Schiavone. I don't know if it's just inexperience doing a podcast, or she just genuinely gets very excited about being on there and talking to certain people. One of the last times I listened to the AEW Uncensored podcast, I had to turn it off. And the reason I had to turn it off is because she constantly interrupted the guest. Hey, Tony Schiavone is a total pro. I mean, he's been doing this kind of stuff. Plus, Tony has his own podcast with Conrad. Tony's a pro. He's been doing this for years. Aubrey is not a pro at that. You know, she's a referee. She's not a podcaster. She's not an announcer. She was interrupting. I forgot who it was, but she was interrupting them so much, it drove me nuts. I said, I can't listen to this. So, like, whenever I do interviews, I don't do interviews a lot, but I've done a lot of interviews on my show. And one of the things that I go out of my way not to do, I make a conscious effort when I interview people, because it would annoy me if I did this, is to cut them off. If they're answering me and they're about to tell an interesting story, the worst thing you could do is interrupt somebody. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, wrestler podcasts. Somebody's about to tell a really interesting story, and then the other guy cuts them off, and they never get back to the story. And I'm sitting here, and I'm left wondering, what was the story? Like, no, go back to that. And they never do. And that's one of the things that drives me nuts. So I listened to, I think, two of them where she did this to some of the guests, and it just, I had to turn it off. It was too much. But I think a lot of that just comes from her just not being experienced, being in that environment and just being overly excited, which is great. But as a listener, it can be very frustrating. So I think as a referee, she's fine. As a podcaster, probably not so much. Not so much as a podcaster. Mr. Khan, thank you again for the $2. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. And Jared M., how did I miss this? Jared M. with the $40 drop earlier on. Thank you, Jared. That's my boy, my fellow New Yorker, I believe, in Jared. Balls of Steel Chicken with the $5. Mr. Brody Lee is pure evil, like a 007 movie villain. Favorite 007 is going to be a little controversial. Favorite 007 since I grew up on him? Roger Moore. All you Sean Connery people, don't at me. The best James Bond, in my opinion, is Roger Moore. Although I do like Daniel Craig. He's pretty good too. Evan Schaff, thank you for the $10. We'll speak more when I catch a call in. You're great at what you do, and I hope you keep doing it. Well, I'm going to keep doing it as long as you guys tune in. I'm going to be here. I'm not going nowhere. We got over 1,000 people listening live. You guys are beast. Thank you. Mr. 201, thank you for the $10. Been listening since episode 300. I just passed episode 650 last weekend, so that's a long time. Miser Jones, a.k.a. Maestro Pirouette. Do you have to take those belts off the wall when you bring a girl at home? Actually, I strapped one around one of the ladies I had here once, my friend. Don't be jealous. Girls love gold. It's not real gold. But they don't know that. I told them it was a boxing belt. It's all good. Don't be jealous. And Shane Adam Hughes, Thank you for the super chat. Says, I look like Scott Pilgrim. Where is my Ramona Flowers? I never saw the movie. I don't get the reference. I've heard of the movie. I've never seen it. So I don't know who Ramona is. I'm sure she's a lovely girl. I'm sure she is a lovely lady. Let me go here to the video frame with the phone number. You see the phone number down below? Where is it? Right? Right there. There it is. Down below. 989-282-SOLO. We'll take calls a little bit later on in the stream. We got a pre-taped Brandi Rhodes promo. Brandi Rhodes was sitting in a chair somewhere, and she was addressing her promo to Lance Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts. Scott Pilgrim is an amazing movie. I'll take your word for it. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just telling you I've never seen it. What was it? Scott Pilgrim Takes Over the World or something? Is that the name of it? All right. Hey, Daniel the Elite, thank you for the sub. As we see Dancing Nakamura on screen. I won't dance. So she talks about how she knows a confrontation is coming with Cody and Archer. She knows this. She says, I know you're going to try to scare me, and Cody's going to come to my rescue, and you're going to attack him. It's old school. And she said, I'm Brandi Rhodes. I'm the chief brand officer for AEW. And she said to Jake the Snake, you will keep your name, or you will keep my name, out of your dirty old mouth. She would pay for that comment here. We had QT Marshall against the Murderhawk Lance Archer, the Murderhawk monster. Lance Archer. Jake the Snake was back live. First time, probably in, I don't know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Probably since we've seen Jake the Snake live in person. He was out there with a black mask on, looked like a ninja. Ninja Jake the Snake. Although he did take the mask off later on. He has to wear the mask. I mean, he's old. 60-something years old. To be perfectly honest with you, he shouldn't be there. I mean, let's be honest here. I like seeing Jake the Snake. He probably should not have been there. You know, he fits into that high-risk category, I would say. You know, but look, I also understand it from his perspective. You know, if you look at it from Jake's perspective, this may be the last shot that he has in a major wrestling promotion. WWE is not going to bring him in this kind of role. AEW is the only other company that has major cable television, you know, live, pandemic aside, live every week. They brought him in to be part of the act with Lance Archer. He probably views this as maybe the last opportunity he's really going to have with a major promotion. So I can understand it. If you look at the whole pandemic stuff, there's no end date for this. This can go on for 6 months. This can go on for a year. This could be a year and a half. I mean, who knows? We don't know. We don't know how long this is going to go on for. How long is Jake the Snake going to be high risk for? So he probably looks at it and goes, they need me there, I'm there. I don't want to say no, because if I say no, I may lose my spot. And if I lose my spot, I may not get another chance like this. This is very important to Jake. If you've followed his story over the years, you know how important it is for him to be back in that environment and have the chance to really, you know, sink his teeth into something like this. So I get it. Maybe they gave him the option and he said, I'll be there. So I understand it. So we have QT Marshall. I mean, come on. It's the Apple guy. QT Marshall against Lance Archer. It's going to go pretty much the way you expect it to go. Brandi was at ringside, because Brandi now is the manager for QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes. They're a tag team, or they're trying to make them into a tag team anyway. Britt Baker is in the crowd. Britt Baker has a thing each week where she'll take her shoe off and she'll either hit somebody with it or she'll wave it around. Brandi Rhodes said, I don't think so. And she grabbed the shoe and she tossed it. She threw the shoe halfway across the building. And again, she would end up paying for that in the end. So we had Lance Archer. He wins with the EBD claw. Everybody dies. He puts him down, wins the match. No surprise there. Britt Baker hops the barricade, gives Brandi a DDT on the floor, lays her out, rolls her into the ring for Lance Archer. So Brandi is in the ring. All of a sudden, here comes Jake the Snake Roberts. And Jake the Snake comes out. He's got a snake in his hand. Looks just like Damien. I would have thought it was Damien if I didn't see Damien die right before my very eyes as a kid. Quake Burgers. on Superstars back in 1991. It scarred me. I'm not going to lie. It scarred me for a while. Quake Burgers. I mean, I don't know how many of you saw the uncensored version of that as it aired on TV. Later on, they showed like a censored version of it. So it was not Damien, but he brings the snake into the ring. He lays the snake across Brandy. He mounts Brandy, which, you know, I mean, not exactly a scene that I needed to see, but, you know, Jake's a sleazeball. That's his whole gimmick. His whole gimmick is that he's sleaze. He's slime. Look at the way he's talked about Brandy in recent weeks. So I thought this was a pretty good angle. You know, kind of a heavy angle. Now, I have to say this. I have to give AEW credit for this. I get very agitated with WWE. I get very agitated with, AEW, or really any company. In a situation like this, when you watch it, you think to yourself, where's her husband? Where's Cody? We saw Cody wrestle earlier. We know he's there. His wife is laid out in the ring. His wife has a snake laid across her. Where is Cody? And they actually went out of the way to explain. They said, well, Cody is probably in the locker room. He's in the locker room, which is in the stadium portion, I guess TIAA Stadium, where the Jaguars play. And they said, you know, to get from the locker room back to Daly's place, you got to get in a golf cart, which obviously was being reserved for the main event. You got to get in a golf cart, and it takes you a few minutes to travel from the stadium to Daly's place. So they at least tried to explain why we did not see Cody, even though we knew he was there, even though we saw him wrestle earlier in the show. I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact they took the time and the effort to at least try to explain where is Cody. Because under so many circumstances, we're left saying, this is stupid. This makes no sense. This is some of that stupid wrestling bullshit where it's completely unexplainable. If that was your wife laid out in the ring, you would be down there lickety-split in 5 seconds. And it's still a little unbelievable because he never did come out, but at least they tried to explain it. So I appreciated that. Cube of the Goat, thank you for the super chat. Thank you for the $1.99. Salamancer, you do look 12 years old. Thank you, my guy. Chris Quillman, thank you for the $5. I guess you, if you worked for WWE, they would be selling Salamancer's hair in a bottle. Oh, is that like the Boneyard Dirt? Is that what that's like? The Boneyard Dirt. Spanish Goddess. This is Salamancer looks like Kevin Von Erich. Well, except I wear shoes. I don't walk around barefoot like he does. Sean Turner says, you should get a Dewey haircut. I don't know. Dewey who? Dewey Foley? I don't know any other Deweys. Juan Bermudez, thank you for the $2. Good show tonight. I miss seeing the Hangman. I do too. That's one of the real negatives of this whole pandemic in terms of its impact on AEW. We have not seen Adam Page on these shows at all. And he was arguably, I mean, he was over like Rover. He was one of the hottest guys in the company. He has really been cooled off because he hasn't been on TV. Turtlehead, thank you for the $5. Shout out to all my clients, and I'm looking forward to seeing you take Luis's call. Luis Heat is greater than X-Pac Heat. Luis is a good dude. Tom, thank you for the $5. So who would be your pick for a cross-brand Fatal 4-Way? Oh, I've got to think about that. There's a lot of good choices. I mean, wouldn't you like to see a Darby Allin or a Sammy Guevara? Or a Lance Archer against some of the stars from NXT? Lance Archer and Keith Lee or something like that? I mean, there's a lot of good interpromotional matches that are completely unrealistic that we will never, ever see. Mr. Montoya, thank you for the $10. Quick question. You said the Winged Eagle belt is your favorite design. Has there ever been another championship belt design that you wanted to own? Big Gold. Big Gold is a beautiful belt. I am a belt mark, I admit. Big Gold is a beautiful belt. That would be on my list. I mean, I'm pretty much out of the belt business at this point. But the Big Gold and the classic Intercontinental, those are two of my favorite belt designs. Mandy, thank you for the $2. Appreciate all the support from you tonight. LSF 45, Sammy's golf cart spot was insane and hilarious. I'm going to get to that in a second. And Heel T. Sim says, Nasty Leroy is the man. Janella Zone on Instagram is awesome. I'm assuming that's the official Joey Janela Instagram. I don't know. I don't follow Joey Janela on Instagram, so I don't know. You guys tell me. What is it? What is his Instagram handle? If I'm not blocked, I'll be more than happy to follow him. I come to find out every now and then when I go to follow somebody, like a WWE guy, I find that I'm blocked. Or Eric Young blocked me years ago when he was still in TNA. TNA had this horror. I mean, TNA was just in dire straits. And they had what I think was, I don't remember what pay-per-view it was. It was a pay-per-view a lot of people crapped on. It just wasn't very good. But he was Mr. Rah-Rah TNA. He was a loyal soldier. I'll give him that. I must have made some kind of comment. He was vanity tweeting. And I guess he blocked me. So, every now and then I come to find somebody new to add to my list. I take great pride in that. I take great pride. A lot of very sensitive wrestlers out there in WWE. So they ran down the matches for Double or Nothing on May 23rd. You know some of them already. I already mentioned them. We know we're going to get Moxley and Brody Lee. We're getting Cody and Lance Archer. We now know that there will be a casino ladder match. Last year it was the Casino Battle Royal. This year it's the casino ladder match. With the winner getting an opportunity to challenge for the AEW World Championship. They didn't say when. I don't know if it's a Money in the Bank type thing where you can cash in. If it's on the next pay-per-view. I have no idea. They didn't say. But that is the match coming up. You know, this is a big month for ladder matches. We have Money in the Bank coming up this Sunday with two ladder matches. And now we're going to have a casino ladder match at the pay-per-view on the 23rd. So we're getting a lot of ladder matches here in the month of May. Taz tried to interview Darby Allin. He was telling Darby that, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. Taz would be more than happy to help him out. He's trying to be a good Samaritan. Taz wants to help the dude out. Darby never said a word. He walked off. I guess he was offended. I don't think Darby Allin needs advice from Taz. All due respect to Taz. Main event had Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara calling themselves Les Sex Gods. That's what they called themselves. Against Kenny Omega and Broken Matt Hardy making his in-ring Dynamite debut. This was no disqualification, false count anywhere in the building. Pineapple Pete was at ringside. He was screwing around again with Jericho. Jericho almost beat the shit out of him. Jericho and Pineapple Pete almost came to blows here at ringside before the match even started. And Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, they paid tribute to the late Joe Pedicino, which I thought was very classy. I thought that was a very classy move on their part. A very nice thing for them to do. Tony was talking about, you know, his old championship wrestling show, Joe Pedicino's. It was only 30 seconds, but I thought it was a very classy thing for them to take a moment and for them to take a moment and just shout out Joe Pedicino, who passed away recently and was actually a very important figure and a very well-known figure in the wrestling business. Very successful at what he did. So we have the main event here. Broken Matt in the ring for the first time in an AEW ring officially for the first time. We had a little whisper in the wind action early on here from Matt and Omega. You know, the move where Matt gets down on all fours. I'm not going in the gutter with this. He gets down on all fours, and Kenny Omega comes on in for the whisper in the wind to Sammy Guevara. Jericho had an aluminum baseball bat that he had brought out with him, and he used it as a weapon on Kenny Omega. Jim Ross explained the absence of Hangman Page here in this match. He said that he just flat out said, he said, COVID and social distancing. Again, it's just little things like that. I appreciate the fact that they don't shy away from calling it what it is. You don't have to come up with some kind of whacked out storyline explanation. You know, we have a situation go. Oh, there it is. The situation. We have the situation going on, and Hangman Page is playing it safe. Staying home and he's drinking. I don't have to say anything more than that. So we had a spot where Matt Hardy, who is, of course, no stranger to TLC matches, coming off the ladder, down through a table. Kenny Omega had Sammy Guevara's legs hooked. So Matt comes off the ladder, crashes down through Sammy. Jake Hager yanks the referee out of the ring before the three count. No DQs in this match. So the match continues. Come back from break. They have moved elsewhere in the building. Out onto the concourse level. Matt shoves Jericho's head into a Jaguar's ice machine. Jericho then grabs a bag of ice from inside the ice machine and wallops Matt Hardy with it. And then I think he put Matt Hardy in the ice machine. So we had Kenny Omega over, trash can, hits Jericho, hits Hager. Omega hits a running powerbomb to Sammy Guevara into a garage door. Jericho comes back. He goes after Omega. Grabs a cone. Jericho grabbed a cone. A traffic cone. Put it on his head. Then he used it as a weapon on Kenny Omega. Damascus. Matt Hardy. That's what he calls himself now. He is no longer broken. He is Damascus. He emerges from the ice machine. And he heads to a nearby golf cart. This is where things got pretty wacky here in this match. Goes into the golf cart. He's talking to the golf cart. And Matt clips Jericho. He's driving the golf cart like a madman. He's trying to hit and run here. Hit and run attempt by Matt Hardy. He clips Jericho with the golf cart. Omega then joins Matt in the golf cart. So now both guys are in the golf cart together. And they start speeding in the other direction. They're chasing down Sammy Guevara. They are chasing down Sammy. They run down Sammy Guevara with this golf cart. Sammy was almost killed here in this match. He gets run down by this golf cart. Then they drive back to Jericho. And they had a whole sequence here where I think Jericho was laid out on the table. There's a scissor lift. Omega's climbing up. He's up on the scissor lift. Hager comes over. He kind of rescues Jericho, pulls him off the table. So now you got Hager, you've got Matt Hardy, and you've got Chris Jericho down below. Up on top of the scissor lift is Kenny Omega. He hits a moonsault. This guy's out of his mind. Hits a moonsault off the scissor lift, wipes out everybody, including his partner. So now everybody is down. We had Omega going for a one-winged angel on Jericho. Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle, they come out, they make the save. They hit a shield powerbomb to Matt Hardy through a table, actually a pair of tables. We had Kenny Omega being fed to Jericho. Jericho powerbombs Omega on top of the golf cart. He goes rolling off, and he hits the Judas effect. You like that? I'm reenacting the moves as I talk about them. So, you know, he hits the Judas. Oh, fuck. Son of a bitch. What the fuck? Oh my God, what did I do? Oh, that was really dumb. Wow. I gave myself a good shot there. Holy shit, I just took a bump. Wow, that was dumb. This is why I'm not a professional wrestler. I leave that to the pros. I just punch myself in the friggin' face. Oh my God, I think I'm bleeding. Oh my God, this is terrible. Anyway, so I enjoyed that main event, aside from the fact that I just literally beat the shit out of myself. I enjoyed that main event. I thought that was fun. I enjoyed that. I didn't enjoy what just happened, but I enjoyed the match. And I enjoyed the various attempts of forms of attempted murder that we saw here in the, I can't even talk. The various forms of attempted murder. Oh my God. Oh yeah, Botchamania. I was on Botchamania 2 weeks ago. I may be back on there a lot sooner than I thought. I enjoyed this main event. I thought this was a fun main event. Next Wednesday, we've got Brody Lee taking on Christopher Daniels of SCU. MJF is going to see his first action on Dynamite in many, many weeks. We have not seen MJF in action. So he will be wrestling Jurassic Express and Marco Stunt. Are going to be taking on Best Friends with Orange Cassidy. We have a women's four-way, Hikaru Shida, Penelope Ford, Chris Statlander, and Dr. Britt Baker. So I assume that four-way is likely going to determine who the number one contender is. I would have to assume. Maybe they even said. I didn't hear them give it a stipulation. But it would make sense that that would determine the number one contender. A Double or Nothing for the championship. Chris Jericho will be in action. He's going to be taking on that rat bastard, Pineapple Pete, put him in his place. And Jake the Snake Roberts and Lance Archer will be in the house. They're going to be giving a very special interview. So pretty loaded show next week that I believe is being taped. If it wasn't taped already, it's being taped tomorrow. So Dynamite will not be live next week. They will, however, be back on May 20th. And so the show on May 20th will be live again. Let's check the polls out here and see what you guys think of these shows. And I'm actually very curious to go to these polls now because from everything I saw, NXT was a loaded show. You know, NXT was really promoted this week. They have a NXT championship match, the debut of Killer Cross. A lot of big things they were promoting. Plus Charlotte and Io Shirai, and from what I understand, they were talking about them as if their moonsaults were on the same level. I don't know what fucking planet these people are from. If you put Charlotte Flair's, not her outring, but you know, when she does the corkscrew thing outside, her moonsault inside, to even compare it to Io Shirai, or even a Lacey Evans, is such a joke. It really is. I mean, it is a complete and utter joke for them to even attempt to make that comparison. But I am very curious to see how that match ended up between them. So I will be watching NXT with great interest a little later. Let's see what you guys thought. Here's the AEW poll, if we can bring it up. So far, we've got, that's 83% up. 83% up for AEW. Just about 17% thumbs down. We have already got over 1,300 votes in. That's a pretty good total. Let's see how NXT compares. Let's go to the NXT poll and see what you guys have to say. And so far, the NXT results. It's a little bit of lag on my end here. Or maybe not. Maybe there's just that few votes in for the NXT poll so far. I'm seeing under 300 votes. That can't be right. Well, 68% thumbs up so far for NXT. 32% thumbs down. Is that somebody in the chat? Let me know if that's right or if I'm lagging. That seems like an awfully low number of votes for NXT. We've got over 1,300 already for AEW. I would be stunned. Let me check this on my phone. Let me check this real quick. That can't be right. That is a huge gap. All right, so here we go. The AEW poll here. I'm checking on my phone. 1,300 votes. Okay, see, so there is lag. I don't know why it's not updated. 850 votes so far for NXT. 66% thumbs up, 34% thumbs down. So a much better score so far. You guys seem to enjoy AEW a lot more. Either that or the AEW fans are a lot more vocal than the NXT fans. It's one or the other. Maybe the AEW fans are a little more passionate about their product than the NXT folks are. Let me play a little bit of catch up here with some of your super chats. Jason Nibs, I thanked him earlier. I want to thank him again for the $60. And Jacob Donnelly, too, for the $5. Psycho Jet Black, thank you for the super chat. Curse Bloodwolf. I love that name. Curse Bloodwolf with the $5. Anthony Obasi with the $10 Russo on a poll drop. Solidarity with fellow haircut needers. Khalid, thank you for the $2. Tamara Davis with another super chat drop. Tamara's awesome. I love Tamara. We got a lot of new people subbing to the channel. I love seeing that. We got a lot of new subs here to the channel on the stream here tonight. I thank you guys. Tyler Coon. Ooh, you almost got me there. Tyler Cun Williams, $5 super chat. Brandy is always, always is out to help Cody in any situation, but Cody, who won his match, did not come out to save her. He is in the doghouse for a while. Master of the Heels, thank you for the $5. Old men need some love from that sweet young Brandy Rhodes. Well, that's creepy. Don't be creepy. Spanish Goddess, thank you for the $3.99. Which wrestlers blocked you? Oh, I mean, there's been a whole bunch. Seth Rollins blocked me. He didn't like what I had to say last summer. Or was it the fall? I don't know. When did he make those stupid comments about Jon Moxley? Was it last summer? Might have been last summer. I don't know. I said something he apparently didn't like. Shawn Michaels blocked me. Velvet Sky blocked me. We can go on and on all day long. Baron Corbin, but, I mean, come on. I mean, that's almost to be expected. JBL blocked me when I was still doing work for his old website. He blocked me. I think if you sneezed in front of JBL, kind of like Vince McMahon, he would block you. If you said hello to JBL and put your hand out for a handshake, he would block you. Wavy Davey, thank you for the $10. Master of the Heels with the $6. Talking about Brandy Rhodes. Yami, thank you for the $5. You should watch the Vikings TV show. It's on Hulu. Give it a try. Currently on its last season. It will not disappoint you like the main roster product does. Not really into Vikings. I'm not into the Viking Raiders. I'm not into the Vikings. I'm not into the Minnesota Vikings. Fuck the Minnesota Vikings. Not really a big Viking guy. Rick Horner, thank you for the $5. Winner by TKO, Solid Monster's Fist. Yeah, man, I don't know what happened there. My aim is way off. I'm still feeling the effects of that. Ian Israel, thank you for the $2. Karrion Kross, he's a big Karrion Kross fan. And Terry Sitton, I think we're all caught up. Are we all caught up? All right, we're all caught up, I believe. Thank you for the super chat. Have you ever been asked to do Quizzlemania by WrestleTalk? I think you got a shot at winning. I'm always invited to, like, I've never been invited, but I've always been, people ask me, oh, this channel has, like, a trivia show, and this channel has a trivia show. I've never gotten around to doing it. I'm not against it, but I've never gotten around to doing it. I think I would do well. I don't know if I would win. There's a lot of wrestling fans, wrestling savants out there who are very up on their wrestling knowledge. I'm not the only one. I think I would handle myself pretty well. I'd like to think so anyway. Let me get the headphones on here. There we go. By the way, all the people, these people in the chat are very upset about me dumping on the Minnesota Vikings. It's all good. It's all in good fun. Don't take it so seriously. I forget sometimes that all these sports fans and their teams, they're very, you know, they're very particular. You can't say a crossword about their team or else they get very, very touchy about that. Says Turtlehead in the chat, Sean's wonky eye blocked you. Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe it was his lazy eye. Maybe he blocked me. I don't know. Look, I didn't think I said anything wrong. It was a podcast I did many years ago. And, you know, what did I do? I made one little comment. I was answering a mailbag question. Somebody asked me, oh, buy or sell? Do you buy on the first half of Shawn Michaels' career? Do you buy on the second half? And I was kind of talking about Shawn's career, the ups and downs. And I said, you know, there was a period of time in 97 where he wasn't the showstopper. He was the pill popper. A few weeks later, I was blocked. Was it something I said? I guess so. I guess it was something I said. I don't know. I think I'm a pretty nice guy. All these people blocking me. They're so sensitive. My goodness. Let's take some calls. Let's get some action going here. We got the lines all jammed up. Let's unjam them. Actually, you know what? Before I even get to the calls, I got to mention this. Before I forget, because I know I will. Tomorrow. Could be Friday, but I'm planning tomorrow. Probably going live again on YouTube tomorrow afternoon at some point. for my Money in the Bank predictions. So if you want to tune in, if you want to call in, I'll probably be taking calls as well at the end. But we have Money in the Bank pay-per-view is coming up on Sunday, and I'll be right back here on the YouTube channel reviewing it live when the show is over, so I hope you'll join me then. But Money in the Bank predictions, sometime tomorrow afternoon. Follow me on Twitter. You see the address on your screen. I'll let you guys know when I'm going to go live. If I do go live, join me then. Money in the Bank predictions, that's coming up tomorrow. So I'm glad I remembered to mention that. Otherwise, I would have forgotten. Let's go. Area code 740, you're on the air.
What's happening, Fall Monster?
What's going on, my friend? Who am I talking to?
I'm talking to Travis.
Hey, Travis.
How you doing? I really did love the main event tonight. I thought they did a lot of creative stuff. But as usual, the most entertaining part is going to be hearing what Jim Cornette thinks later this week.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing 2K19 right now. Tell me if you think this is a good SmackDown opener. But it's Gallows, Anderson, Jack Gallagher, and myself versus Sin Cara and the Lucha House Party in an 8-man tag.
That sounds like a terrible match.
Me and Jack Gallagher were the gentlemanly villains.
Well, I mean, Jack Gallagher is cool, but that sounds like a horrible... I wouldn't pay to see that match. I mean, no offense, but I wouldn't pay to see that match.
You wouldn't even tune in the Fox for it?
No, probably not. I'd probably watch the Home Shopping Network or something.
What is your thoughts on the casino ladder match and how it's going to work? Do you really think they're going to have like 20 guys in there like the Battle Royal last year?
No, I don't. I wouldn't think so. I would think that they would, unless it's some kind of gauntlet type match. You got to consider the circumstances, also the times that we're living in right now. I don't think we're going to see any kind of, and this is probably, now that I think about it, why we're not getting a Battle Royal. We're not getting a Battle Royal because of everything that's going on, as WWE would call it, the situation. So they're going to do a ladder match instead. I would say they may cap it at like 8 people, but that probably explains why we're not getting a Battle Royal.
And also, just to wrap things up, who do you think, now I know you don't know who's in it, but if you were to venture to guess, who do you think winds up winning?
I don't even know who's in it. I have no idea who's. I mean, it completely depends on who's in the match. I mean, without knowing who any of the entrants are, I don't know. It's impossible to know. I mean, there's guys like Luchasaurus. There's guys like Wardlow, who I think could get a big push out of a ladder match win. I guess look at the stipulation. It can't be somebody too low on the card if they're going to get a world championship match against Moxley or whoever the champion is. So who conceivably could, you know, be in a position to believably challenge John Moxley for the championship? You know, could you see John Moxley against, well, it can't be Lance Archer because he's wrestling. So you take Cody out of the equation, you take Lance Archer out of the equation. MJF is going to have a match. Does that mean he's not going to be in the ladder match? Maybe he'll be in both. Maybe MJF.
I thought Brody Lee was kind of sudden, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. Well, Brody Lee is challenging for the championships. It's not going to be Brody Lee.
I know. I just thought it felt kind of random for him to get the title shot. I just felt out of left field.
It did. That's why I was kind of hoping it would be MJF, but here's his big chance, right? This is what he's been waiting for. He's going to be in a pay-per-view main event wrestling for the world championship, so make or break time for Brody Lee. Let's see what he's got.
Yep. Thank you, Tall Monster.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Let's move along here to... I think this is a Georgia. 912. Is this Georgia?
Yeah.
Hey, who am I talking to?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Barely, but I can hear you.
Evan Schaaf. You've been calling me Schaaf at Chopper.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll call you Evan. How about that?
Yeah. Just call me Evan. That's
there we go.
Man, I'm a new time listener. I only started listening to you probably like 3 months ago. But like, I dig the fuck out of the way that you do your shit. Anyway, I had 3 points to make. We'll just even you know, make sure that we can get it even to two. My first question is your opinion on Nyla Rose, and I'm not going to go to the whole gender thing. I'm saying in a women's division that's already weak, but we have two like real stars like Britt Baker and Sheeta. I don't know. Do you think that with Nyla being like, you know, who she is, does it make it a little bit odd to observe? And also, once crowds come back to this thing, how do you think the reaction is going to be with all that? With Britt Baker being as over as she is, and Sheeta as well.
I think fans are going to react the way that they would expect them to react. They're going to boo Britt Baker, and they're going to cheer Sheeta. Sheeta, I think, is one of the fan favorites in AEW. Britt is a good enough heel that I don't think people are going to cheer for her. I think they'll react to her the way... Because remember, when they still had crowds, she was getting cheap heat, which is fine, but depending on what city they were in, she would heel on the city. You people look like a bunch of fat Whataburger people. You know, Porky Pig over here, or she'd be in another city and she'd be crapping all over some kind of sports team and you people are all ugly. That's cheap heat. So people are going to boo her. She's easily hateable. Hikaru Shida is one of the, I think, more popular females. Nyla Rose is hated by a lot of people. Some people for the wrong reasons. Other people, you know, just hate her because they think she's a good heel. So, I mean, I don't see the fan reactions being any different. Britt Baker has really, I said this last week, I've turned a corner with Britt Baker. I've really been digging her work.
I have as well. Absolutely. I thought she was kind of garbage when she came in. She was really the most forgettable babyface, but man, once she turned heel, and even actually when she turned heel on the Jericho Cruise or whatever, mm-hmm. and started like cutting the promos on Shivani, I even thought then, I was like, yeah, she's trying real hard to get cheap heat. But no, she's really improved herself so much, and to this point where I look forward to seeing her on Dynamite. I really do.
Yeah, she's had some of the more enjoyable segments. I mean, those pre-tapes at the dentist office, you know, the stuff with Rebel last week. Even the stuff tonight, you know, her with the shoe being all obnoxious in the crowd and stuff. She's been great. I've really turned a corner on her big time.
Okay, well, I'm going to just have one more question for you. So something I've been thinking about is that there's so many great wrestlers, male and particularly female, that are from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, mainly Asuka is one of my favorite wrestlers. But they, even the way that they book her, even though right now she is basically the saving grace of a lot of, you know, entertainment.
Of all these empty arena shows, she has been one of the saving graces. I mean, sometimes they go a little overboard with it, with just the random yelling and stuff, but Asuka, I think, has been fantastic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, I think Asuka has been far and beyond the best worker on that female roster of the entire brand. Now, I don't watch NXT all that much, so I may be missing somebody, but Asuka is, I think you and me can agree, a fucking fantastic performer, a fantastic worker.
Underappreciated.
Yeah. Yes, because we're in America, but you think that it's that way in Japan? I mean, I guess like what I'm asking you here is there's so many great female wrestlers, and I guess also from Japan. I mean, shit, Shinsuke Nakamura. But the way that WWE books it is that it's like, oh yeah, let's laugh at the funny Asian woman going and yelling and stuff. How do you think that it could be put over? How do you think that, is there any way that these wrestlers from Japan or any foreign country who don't speak that much English can be really put over to the crowd over here in America?
Yeah, I think some of them could probably use the help in terms of having a manager, in terms of having... Asuka doesn't need that, but there are some talents who just aren't very good. Look, Andrade. I think Andrade, the pairing with him and Zelina Vega, has benefited him. Now he got suspended, and that kind of killed his momentum a little bit. He's been losing more than he's been winning, which is ridiculous because he's the United States champion. If you're a champion, you should not be losing more than you're winning. Some people who have either an issue with the language, if English is not their first language, they could benefit by having somebody do the talking for them while they learn the language. Some people may not take the time to learn the language, and you're probably not going to get very far. We know that. In WWE, you're not going to get very far unless you make the effort to actually learn the language, because that's just, apparently that's just the attitude when it comes to that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's different for every talent. Asuka is not somebody who needs a manager. Some people do. And it doesn't matter if you're from Japan, if you're from Mexico, if you're from Germany or some other country where English is not your first language. You're going to be on a television show if you're talking WWE or even AEW, maybe to a little bit of a lesser degree, but even AEW, where you have to be able to go on television and communicate with people and cut a promo, or it is going to work against you. So I think some people could benefit from having a mouthpiece, you know, when it comes to that sort of thing. Now, I'm not here to say whether that's fair or unfair. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura, he can speak English. Is that one of the reasons why he hasn't really been pushed in the last year or more in a what I would call a prominent role? He was in a prominent role. He was challenging for the championship. He wrestled AJ Styles at WrestleMania for the title. I didn't think that match lived up to expectations, you know, from their New Japan match. They had a lot of expectations going into it. Nakamura, in a lot of ways, has been great, but this is not the same Shinsuke Nakamura we saw in New Japan. This is a Shinsuke Nakamura that seems content to just, you know, do whatever is asked of him, and apparently he's very fond of surfing, and he enjoys his time living in Florida. Good for him. Good for him. But some people who just do not know the language, it ends up being held against them. Because if you can't go on TV and cut a promo and you can't communicate with the audience, that's not going to be good for your career. And there are some talents in AEW, even some of the ladies, you know, who come over from Japan, some of the Japanese promotions who don't speak good English. AEW puts less of an emphasis on that sort of thing. If they can go in the ring and perform, they'll probably be okay. If it were WWE, they would take a Riho and just throw her in the ring with a microphone and say, hey, talk for 5 minutes, and it would probably be a total disaster. They're not usually known for highlighting someone's strengths and hiding their weaknesses. Not like Paul Heyman used to do in the old ECW. It's not like that. Let's go to Texas. 817. Whoa, 817, you're on the air.
Hi, someone wants to talk to Octavia.
Hi, Octavia. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I was just calling because I wanted to know what your take on the whole Gargano and Candice LeRae turning heel is. How do you feel about that?
I think it's good. I think it's good to have a fresh change for both of them. They've changed their, mm-hmm. or at least Candice, she's changed her look up a little bit. You know, Gargano, I think, has been embracing the heel role more, acting all smarmy and stuff. It's too early to know if it's going to work, but I mean, yeah. It's something different. I welcome it. I don't know what they did tonight on the show with them, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it'll be good to put the two of them together. I think it'll be good.
Yeah, so far I did see NXT tonight, and I do have to say that Gargano was pretty good, but I just don't believe Candice. I just honestly don't. She's just too sweet. And she needs to get mean.
All right. Well, she's been heel for 2 weeks. So I'm hoping at some point she'll start doing stuff that makes her more heelish. I agree. Look, some people, I'm going to talk about this actually on Sunday when I talk about Dark Side of the Ring. But Ricky Steamboat is the classic example of a guy who was a babyface his entire career, wanted to turn heel, went to the company and said, I got this great idea for how I can turn heel. And it was Pat Patterson who kind of laughed at him and said, you're not a heel. Nobody would ever believe you're a nice guy. Nobody would ever believe that you can be a bad guy. And he never, his whole career, you know, he never turned into a bad guy. Some people are just, they're too nice. You can't buy them in the role. We'll see if Candace can overcome that.
Well, I hope so, because I am very excited about the purple hair, and I really want to see her get mean with some of those girls. That's all I can say.
Well, I hope it works out, because they could use a a good new heel in the women's division. Maybe they get something going with Candace and Rhea Ripley or something. I'd like to see that.
Ooh, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in. Call back again soon. That was Octavia in Texas. Let's go to a completely different state. We actually have another one from Texas here, but we'll bounce around a little bit. We got some time. What time is it? Why am I looking over there? There's a clock right in front of me. Let's go. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm delirious after I may have given myself a concussion. 401, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think you did, and I'm starting to be a little bit concerned for you after watching The Dark Side of the Ring last night. You sound very animated. I hope we don't have another Herb Abrams situation going on over here with you.
Hey, Herb Abrams, he knew how to live. Herb Abrams knew, hey, he knew how to have fun. That guy knew how to have fun.
Hey, Jason, what's up? It's Dick Tickles from Twitter.
Ah, always good to talk to Mr. Tickles. What's going on?
Not much. Just finished up my shift here at work. Figured I would listen in while I had nothing better to do.
Well, did you see the Dynamite show tonight?
I did not, and unfortunately I won't be able to talk to you or much about that, but I do have a few questions for you that are WWE-related. Actually, one is AEW-related.
Well, let's start with that one.
I was wondering, you know, I watched The Dark Side of the Ring last week, and David Schultz seems like he's still got it. Do you think he could ever make a manager in AEW?
Yeah, he probably could. I mean,
a good manager?
He probably still has the talking skills. They have Jake. I wouldn't overdo it on the old guys coming in. I don't think they need him, but it sounds like he still has the chops. If he wanted to go out there and cut promos, he probably could still cut better promos than some guys today.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. He seems like he's still got the skill, the gift of gab, and, you know, he might still have something to prove because the way he left the business, he had the talent back then, and it sucks what happened to him. It was kind of his fault.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, no one forced him to open-hand smack the guy twice in the head. So, and I'm not saying that I didn't, in a perverted kind of way, kind of enjoy watching that back the other day. But he still did slap the guy. The guy didn't put his hands on him. So there's a price to be paid for that. He paid that price.
Yeah. It's good to know that, maybe if the option ever came to him, he could take it. And I think he could be really good with it. So as for WWE, I was wondering on your thoughts of Raw's ratings being another record low this past week.
Yeah, I mean, the Raw ratings have been going down each week. And I haven't been talking about it really on my show too much because we are in the middle of this whole pandemic thing. And these empty arena shows are just, like, AEW has the formula down where it is more enjoyable. I do tend to enjoy the AEW shows more than WWE, but I watch Raw and I watch SmackDown. Same. And these shows are unwatchable. I mean, they're almost literally unwatchable. CM Punk said that a few weeks ago. I got to say, he had a very good point. It's hard to watch. So how much of the drop is a result of that? And how much of the drop do you credit to the fact that they've been going down for years? And the product, in a lot of ways, has been unwatchable for a very long time. I like that they put the title on Drew McIntyre. They're doing certain things that I like. But when you go down a certain road for so long and people lose faith in you and you put out bad television show after bad television show after bad television show, at some point, there's a price to be paid for that. Now, we don't know the DVR numbers. I find it hard to believe that all these live viewers they're losing are just migrating to DVR. I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. So I have to think that the numbers overall are just down. And they're going to continue to go down. And I wonder when the time comes that fans are allowed back in and they can go to real buildings again. I don't see the ratings just shooting back up to 2.5 million. I think that they are going to at some point settle at a level that is far lower than they've ever been at before. And there's only one person to blame for that. And I think you know who that is.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. He's, you know, the guy in charge is out of touch. But I think that this pandemic situation has really exposed the weaknesses with him and WWE as a whole, is that they suffer from a massive lack of creativity.
Yeah, it's exposing some of the weaknesses that they've had. I tell people who tweet me and ask me about this all the time, yes, the whole pandemic does have a lot to do with why these ratings have hit these record lows. I mean, think about it like this. At its peak, TNA, when they went 3 hours that one time, early 2010, they were 2 million viewers. They had higher numbers than WWE has now for Raw. But again, if this all goes away and things go back to normal, are they going to go from 1.6 back to 2.4? I don't know. The longer this The longer this goes on for, people are going to come to realize, hey, I don't need to watch this shit anymore. Like, I've gone 3 months, I've gone 6 months without watching Raw on Monday nights. You know what? I'm happier. My life is better off for it. Or I can watch podcasts. Why do I have to watch the shows? I don't know that all these people are going to come rushing back.
I agree. I think that it's premature to think that things are going to go back to normal for not just ratings for WWE, but really a lot of things as a whole. How many people are still going to want to go out to pay $500 for a ticket to sit in, you know, the 37th row at a baseball game or a football game when the possibility exists that, hey, you might be infected because you've done that?
Yeah, I would agree. Anything else before we move along here?
I just agree with you on the whole ratings deal with Raw and SmackDown. The shows are really tough to watch, but I think Raw suffers the most from that, specifically because of the three-hour format.
Yeah, I would, and that's the other thing. I mean, my God, three hours. Oh my God! I mean, 3 hours in that empty building is like death. It's just it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
No.
We had a 40-minute gauntlet the other day, and they're hit or miss with these gauntlets. WWE has had some really enjoyable gauntlet matches. This was not one of them on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown is 2 hours, and that's over in a breeze. But I've been conditioned to, you know, watch two-hour wrestling shows. When they moved it to three, that was tough. But, you know, you get used to it over time. But with the empty arena, it just makes it almost impossible. I don't think I've sat through the entire 3 hours of Raw in one sitting in probably 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I hear from people like that all the time. So you are not alone.
Well, that's all I've got. I don't want to, you know, take up too much of your time talking about WWE for the Dynamite show. So thank you very much for taking my call, Jason.
All right, thanks for calling in. We'll talk again soon. That was Dick Tickles from Twitter. We interact quite often on that platform, which in case you didn't know, you can follow me along on there as I go back on camera here. You see the handle right there, @Solomosk. You can also vote in the polls, which we'll flash one more time before we end here in a little bit. The Dynamite poll, the NXT poll, vote. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Let me know what you thought about the shows tonight. AEW was leading, as it usually does. It's not me. You guys vote. So AEW was leading a little while ago. I assume they still are. Let me just catch up here with some of these super chats that I may have missed on or missed out on a little bit earlier. Yukio Rules, with the $25 drop, I thank you. I thank you, Yukio Rules. What move would you use as a finisher? The sharpshooter. Big Bret Hart fan. Had a lot of practice putting that hold on my brother when I was younger. It works. Oh, it works. You know what else works? the cross-faced chicken wing. It would be one of those two. Either way, I would have a submission finish. I'm not that strong. I can't like deal the knockout blow, a power bomb, a pile driver, like someone of my size. That's not going to work. I need to be able to just grab somebody and just torture them until they submit. That would be my finishing move. I know that sounds terrible, but that's what I would do. You need a hold that's easy to apply. You could put the chicken wing on anybody. It's got to be a move that you don't be like Hogan dropping leg drops. Then you're going to need 8 back surgeries when you're in your 50s and your 60s. You know, a sharpshooter, easy move to do. Doesn't hurt you. Chicken wing, it hurts the other guy. Doesn't hurt you. That would be my move. Thank you for the question. Master of the Heels says the Mets stink. You know, you donated a bunch of times to the stream, so I'm not going to say anything bad about you, but you're not wrong. Juan, how do you feel about your Jets this year? I'm not that big of a football fan. I mean, the Jets, I'm more of like a casual fan. I went to college where they used to practice. So when I was leaving for the summer, the Jets players would be moving into my dorm, basically. So I was able to like talk to them, interact with them, watch them practice. And I became like a bigger Jets fan. And they have sucked. And I'm not that big of a football fan to begin with, so I haven't really been following too closely. But maybe they'll turn things around. I don't even know if there'll be an NFL season this year. Caleb T, been a fan for a long time. Thank you, Caleb. Appreciate the $5. Evan, our buddy Evan, who talked to us a little bit earlier on. It was good to talk to him. Scorpio Sky's well-trimmed beard. What's going on, Scorpio Sky's well-trimmed beard? Hashtag Inanimate Wrestling Brigade. Yes, we do get donations from some inanimate wrestling. I guess it wouldn't be an object, though, right? What would it be? An inanimate wrestling. I don't know. Whatever you call a fucking beard. That's what it is. Dion Harrison with the $10. Dry chicken without flavor, which sucks. Not you, but dry chicken without flavor is terrible. I had some of that the other day. Don't be surprised if Mr. Brody Lee introduces Brodyism to the Dark Order and having Evil Uno preaching it. All right. Names 22 in the Vince McMahon voice. Daniel Bryan, mumble, mumble, double, double E. Why are you not at... have you been drinking? I think you've been drinking. I won't judge you. I was doing some of that myself earlier. Maybe that's why I hit myself. So I think we're all caught up on the Super Chat stuff. Let's take a couple more. I'm having too much fun to end now. Let's take a few more. Let's go to the great state of Florida. Florida has given us so much entertainment over the years. All the different Florida man stories. I certainly hope this person is not offended by the fact that I take great pleasure in some of these entertaining Florida stories. Florida man, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, Florida man.
Yes, I'm a Florida man. Yes, yeah. But I was born in New York, though.
Okay, so well, that's good though. So you were not born with that Florida blood in you. You migrated there later on in life.
Yes, when I was 7. So okay. Yeah.
All right. So then you're not one of these people then. You're safe to call in. What's going on?
Hey there. I just watched Dynamite tonight, mm-hmm. And I'm not feeling the whole Brody Lee versus for the championship yet, because I think like Brody Lee needs to be more established. Like, I want to see more of what he's trying to do, because like he's trying to he's kind of like pulling like a curtain or something in regards to like the whole Vince McMahon thing. So I don't know. So, well, and plus he's going for the championship.
Yeah, I mean, it came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting him to get the match at Double or Nothing. It just feels too soon. They're only first establishing the character. We're seeing all these vignettes. He was wrestling, I think, Marco Stunt, was it two weeks ago? So mm-hmm. It seems like it's too soon, but you know, he's going to get his opportunity, and we'll see what he does with it. I don't know if the plan is to extend it out beyond the pay-per-view, and maybe they have a rematch, you know, on Dynamite a few weeks mm-hmm. later. That may not be such a bad idea. But if he loses, if he doesn't win the championship, then where does he go next? That's my question.
Well, you know he's going to probably lose.
Oh, of course he is. Oh, also, I expect him to lose 100%, but I guess what I'm saying is you've now put him in this position where he's getting a title shot very quickly after he only debuted really maybe, what, like a month ago maybe? A little over a month ago? I guess it's been a little over a month. Assuming he doesn't win, what do you then do with him next? Who does he feud with? Who do you match him up with?
Well, because I was kind of thinking it like this, because it's interesting that he's going up against John Moxley, because both of them have been really outspoken when it comes to WWE and Vince McMahon. So think about it like this. If he loses, then he can probably bring up something about how Vince McMahon doesn't like to lose. So that could be interesting in the sense of his character.
Could be. It's possible. It's possible.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so... But I'm anxious to see the match, just to see how it go, because at least, like, maybe, you know, Brody Lee will probably have, like, at least more time to, like, you know, show off what he can do. Probably that's probably what he wants to do. Maybe show off what he can do as being, like, a big guy. So, you know.
We're going to find out. He's going to have his shot in a few weeks. So I hope he's got his working boots on, because he's going to have the biggest match of his career.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in. So that was our...
First-time viewer.
Oh, awesome. First-time viewer. Awesome, awesome. Well, hopefully there'll be a second and a third time after this.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take Bye-bye. Care. So that was from Florida. And from the state of Florida, we move all the way over... Boy, we're all jammed up here, but let's go to 631.
Hello, Solid Monster. How's it going?
Good. Who am I talking to?
This is Christian from Long Island.
Oh, what's going on, Christian? You're not too far from Brooklyn, so fellow New Yorker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just got to say, I thought tonight's show was, it was very good. I thought it was great how they structured it and with all the, well, they've been doing the wrestlers in the crowd now, but I think this was the best they've ever did for the wrestlers in the crowd. Probably because there are more of them, but, I mean, they were loud enough, so I did appreciate that. And in the beginning, during the Joey Janela match and Joey Janela and Cody match, they had a nasty Leroy in the crowd, so I like that. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I noticed Leroy, and I think, they definitely had a bigger roster available. They had more people in. Mm-hmm. They were very limited the last several weeks because of those tapings. They didn't have the whole roster. They still didn't have the whole roster. There's a lot of people missing, you know, Hangman, Pentagon and Phoenix and people like that who are, I assume, are in Mexico and can't travel. But they definitely had more people, and it helps, you know, just having that noise and it just the whole atmosphere of the show, which is something WWE just doesn't do. You know, you don't have to bring in fans. You have people who are there. I don't understand why they can't just space them out and put them out there. But it definitely helps the atmosphere of the shows. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. It was I also liked the street fight. And that was a really nasty bump by Sammy when he got hit with the golf cart.
Yeah, that was a little scary, that bump.
Yeah. He seems to be fine. He's been tweeting memes about it, so seems to be all right. But
He'll live.
I thought it was great how Matt Hardy changed like forms three times during the match to his Hardy Boys and Damascus and the regular Matt Hardy. But I thought it was a great match. I thought it was very memorable, and the image of Kenny and Matt in the car and the golf cart was a very cool sight to see, at least.
It was cool. And the one thing I'm a little disappointed in, I don't know if they just abandoned the plans for it or what, but I thought we were going to get something at the Hardy compound with Matt and Sammy or Matt and Jericho. I mean, I hope they still plan on doing that because I was kind of looking forward to that. I mean, it would be kind of a waste for them not to go there at some point. So hopefully in the next few weeks, we get something from the Hardy compound involving them, like a final deletion type thing, even if it's just one-on-one, and hopefully they didn't abandon plans, because I was looking forward to that.
Yeah. I think they might have that at Double or Nothing, because if you look, I don't think any of the Elite or the Inner Circle has any plans for Double or Nothing
yet.
Yeah,
that's a good point. So I didn't think about that. Maybe they'll, like a Money in the Bank thing, right? Money in the Bank, they taped those main events from Stanford, and the rest of the pay-per-view is going to be live from Orlando. So maybe the Double or Nothing show is going to be the same way. Maybe they'll have some Elite Inner Circle type battle from the Hardy compound. It's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for that, because the ones in TNA were brilliant.
Oh, they were great.
If you add Jericho to anything, this is just going to be hilarious, and it's probably gonna be great. And I just have just two questions on NXT. I'm not going to spoil anything, of course, but Karrion Kross and Scarlett debuted tonight. It was advertised, but I mean, let me tell you something. Their entrance is probably one of the best in the company.
Really?
I think it's the first time an entrance has worked without a crowd. It was unreal. I mean, I can't wait to hear you review it when you see it.
I thought
it was great.
I'm looking forward to that, but I do have to say, as far as entrances that I think work better without a crowd from NXT, Dexter Lumis, I think his entrance with that music and him just coming out with that creepy stare, I think his entrance works better without a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like almost like a Walking Dead Stranger Things type of song. But Karrion's and Dexter Lumis's entrances, I mean, they really do work without the crowd kind of well, because if there was a crowd for Dexter Lumis, kind of be hard to hear his music at some points. But anyway, for Karrion Kross and Scarlett, where do you think the first feud for Karrion Kross is going to be? Because I'm thinking maybe Ciampa, but I don't know if they're going to do like an injury angle, then he comes back later on. So if it isn't Ciampa, who do you think is going to be for Karrion's first?
Okay, well, I don't know what they did tonight. I have to assume, based on that segment from a couple of weeks ago, that it's probably going to be Ciampa. If it wasn't Ciampa, well, I mean, let's see here. Riddle is doing the tag team thing. Keith Lee is the champion. It would seem weird to put Cross with a champion if he just debuted. Damian Priest is a heel. Adam Cole is a heel. Johnny Gargano is a heel. Ciampa would honestly be the most logical choice. I mean, really, I mean, I'm just, maybe I don't have the whole roster on my mind right now, but what other kind of mid to upper card babyface who's not occupied, and doesn't even have to be a top babyface, he just came in, maybe it's like a middle of the road kind of guy. I'd have to think about that, but clearly it's going to be Ciampa.
That actually leads to like my second question too, is the, in NXT, there's kind of an overabundance of heels right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this while watching the Charlotte match, but Charlotte has the NXT Women's Championship, so I was thinking who could possibly take it off her. And I think the only women who are faces in NXT right now are Rhea, Shotzi, Tegan, Xia Li, and I don't know if you could consider Io a face. I think so, but maybe not, but I don't know who could possibly take it over if they don't want to give it to Io or Rhea. And same goes with the men. There's kind of a lot of heels going on right now, like the singles part. So I just think there's kind of a lack of baby faces that are logical and that would make sense to go for a title right now.
I would have just assumed that Rhea Ripley would eventually kind of get her rematch, and maybe they would bounce the belt back to her, unless they plan on moving her to the main roster. Otherwise, what's Rhea going to do?
Yeah, I could see that again. Because,
yeah, I mean, Bianca's already been promoted. I mean, Bianca already lost to Charlotte. She's been promoted to the main roster. Shotzi, I don't see it. I don't see her at that level.
Neither.
I don't see her at that level yet. It's too early. She's still relatively new there. Dakota Kai, she's a heel. No. Tegan Knox, I mean, they had big plans for Tegan before she got hurt. She was probably going to win the Mae Young Classic. Was it 2 years ago, I guess? I could see maybe her being the one, but I would just think that at some point Rhea and Charlotte are going to hook back up again, and Rhea's going to get her win back. You know, she failed the first time. She had a good showing, but she fell short. And eventually she fights her way back and gets the big win over Charlotte.
I agree, actually. But thanks for the letting me on. And I saw that they named that animal shelter named the dog after you.
Yeah. Yeah, and, that was pretty cool.
That was actually really cool. I'm looking for a dog right now, too. I'm looking for a plain white dog. I'm going to name it Cokie in honor of Herb Abrams.
Or maybe
I could hit up an animal shelter.
Yeah, or you can get a cat and name it Snow White. Either way, you can pay tribute to Herb Abrams.
Hey, listen, Herb Abrams lived a life that probably everybody wants to live, but...
Well,
maybe he went a little bit too far.
Yeah, well, I was going to say he lived a death that I think most people, if you had to go, well, that's certainly a way to go.
Yeah, but I can't wait to hear your review on that. And once again, thanks for taking my call, and have a great night, Thomas.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And I am going to have a full Dark Side of the Ring review on the podcast this Sunday talking about Herb Abrams, cocaine, and cowboy boots. I mean, from the title alone, you know it's going to be a fun review. I have some breaking news, actually, before we do anything else, and I'm going to wrap up soon, but there is some breaking news with respect to New Japan. New Japan Pro Wrestling, there was, I believe, some talk about tickets going on sale shortly for New Japan's big Madison Square Garden debut. You know, obviously, they had the joint show with Ring of Honor, the Supercard, last year. I was there. As high up in the building as you could go, which is not a fun way to watch a show, but I was there, and it was fun. And were it not for everything going on, I totally would have been at Madison Square Garden for this show. Now I'm not planning on going to any shows, maybe ever again, but certainly not for a while. But New Japan was hoping to soldier on. Tickets were going on sale shortly for their Madison Square Garden debut, Wrestle Dynasty, August 22nd. They were going to be running opposite the same night as NXT TakeOver in Boston. SummerSlam weekend is that same weekend. And they were building it up as this is going to be a Wrestle Kingdom type show. This was going to be a very big show for New Japan. And they were moving ahead. Tickets were going to go on sale. And now we have the update here. Officially, the press release is out from New Japan. Wrestle Dynasty has been postponed until 2021. And here is the announcement directly from New Japan in response to the ongoing pandemic and its continued effect on social gatherings all over the world. New Japan has arrived at the decision to postpone Wrestle Dynasty, which was scheduled to take place August 22nd, to a date to be determined in 2021. We will announce the new ticket information and event date in the future. In the meantime, pre-sale registration will continue. Fans can still sign up to our pre-sale list to be informed of the new date for Wrestle Dynasty the moment details are confirmed, and will still be able to get early access to tickets. And in the press release, they provide a link to do so. So hardly a big surprise that would happen. It's unfortunate. Again, this was to be expected. I mean, August, I mean, I live in New York, which is, thankfully, it seems like things are kind of trending downward, but I'm not getting my hopes up that things are going back to normal anytime soon. New York has been hit harder than any other state. You got 50 states in the U.S., and of all the states, New York is the one that's been hit the hardest. You're going to run a Madison Square Garden show in August? I don't think so. So they've come to the same conclusion, and hopefully, you know, they'll be able to run at a time when things have died down. I mean, look, you're going to run Madison Square Garden. What are you going to do? You're going to run MSG and have 2,000 people? I don't know if New Japan would have sold out even were it not for the pandemic. But I bet they would have done pretty well. Can't run a show this summer. You're not going to have anybody in the building. They may not even allow you. If they have people spaced out and stuff, if let's say they open things up again, you got to have a packed house. You got to have people, you know, maybe not up to the rafters, but you got to do it the right way. You're not going to be able to do it this summer. So to me, this is just, it's the smart move. You know, it's the smart move. So it's unfortunate, but that's just the way things are going to have to be for a while. Let's do a couple more and then we'll wrap up. How about that? That sounds good. Let's go international. Let's go to 416. I believe this is a Canadian call.
Hello, it's Angels, Realist G. And before you bury me like you did during the WrestleMania stream, I just have a quick question, if that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
All right. You know, Matt Hardy, we know his Broken Universe and all of these different characters he's introduced, like, you know, Vanguard 1 and all that. You ever think at some point we're going to see him introduce Hardy the Horse, or does he have to get the rights from you to do that?
He's got to get the rights from me. So if he, you know, if the proper paperwork is signed, if the money is right and everything is all copacetic, then he can do something with Hardy the Horse. And hey, if he wants me to have a cameo, I'd be more than happy to make a cameo. You know, I don't got a whole lot going on right now. I'm kind of stuck here at home. So that sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate the call. I wish there was something intelligent about it, but I kid. I love all my callers, including, I do love all my callers. Let's go to 502. 502, you're on the air.
Hey, Solomon Monster.
What's going on? Is this Michael?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, man, what's up? And I promise not to interrupt you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I have a couple of thoughts on Brody Lee being basically, you know, thrusted into the title picture. As much as I may want to be in that camp of, you know, ex-WWE guy, you know, like, you know, another one, I really think about this from a business sense, being that, you know, and you have to include the pandemic as well. You know, I fully understand, you know, when the announcement was made, you know, I said to myself, what has Brody Lee done to get a title match? But at the same time, from a business sense, you really, just like they did with Jericho and Moxley, you know, I feel that they still want to reach those casual viewers who may not know a lot about AEW, but know a lot about WWE. And this is another way to get those casuals to come on board. Now, I am all for giving an AEW original a title picture match, and I was fully invested in MJF being the next guy in line. But I think with the pandemic that they are really trying to wait off for MJF to have a crowd reaction, because with a guy like MJF, that is heavily dependent on crowd reaction, and they lost that with Matt Hardy and Brody Lee's debut. So I really think that in January, the beginning of 2021, is really when we will start to see an AEW guy be thrusted into the title picture. But I really think from a business sense, this is smart. From a fanboy perspective, you probably like, when is this going to end with, you know, ex-WWE guys?
Well, January of 2021 is a long time. So if you're telling me that they're going to hold off on pushing these, or not pushing, but, you know, putting somebody like an MJF or a Darby or somebody in that position until they get crowds back. The problem is you don't know when they're going to get crowds back. And you're telling me, well, we'll keep, you know, these ex-WWE guys and stuff, we'll build the casual audience, we'll do this for another 8 months, 9 months. Can't do that. That's too long. And
well,
you know, they don't, the problem with all of this is, and it's not anybody's fault, the problem is there's no end date. You can't say on this date or this pay-per-view, we'll get crowds back in the building and things will kind of go back to normal. We don't know. So it's kind of open-ended. It's open-ended right now. And I just said that you went from Jericho to Moxley to a title match for Hager and a title match for Brody Lee. January of 2021 is a long time away. You can't do this for another 8 months or 9 months. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
Well, I was really thinking about in August, an All In or All Out, whichever like you want it is in August.
All Out.
But Scorpio Sky had a good outing. S-A-W, you know, like, okay, you know, original. But, you know, just like you said, there is no end game. I fully agree with that. So, like, if I were, you know, just like you said, like, it's a long time from January 2021. I was thinking, you know, outside the box on that one. Like, I, you know, I agree with you on that. We can't really do that for another, you know, 8 to 9 months. So I would say that all in all, I'm really thinking that the Mets is going to be a fuck finish. And we'll get, you know, August, you know, like all out, you know, the addition of MJF, you know, into the title picture, and he takes the title from Matt, because I really don't see anyone else who could really take it off of Moxley at this point.
You may be right. There are only so many options to really put him against on the top of the card like that. Maybe he'll be the champion for another year. You know, I'm not even suggesting that you take the title off him right now. I thought they were building at some point to Omega and Moxley coming back together. Maybe they're going to wait a year until after their match of Full Gear, bring them back together. Moxley beat him. So Omega is, in a way, he's kind of owed that win, and Kenny Omega has yet to be the AEW champion. Kenny Omega would be, again, I don't mean AEW original in that, you know, he built his name in AEW, but he was not a WWE guy. I'd be okay with finally putting the title on Omega at some point, but Omega's also one half of the tag team champions. So, what do you do with that? It's not an easy call to make, but I would absolutely not be of the opinion that you need to wait until crowds come back to put MJF in that position. It would be ideal, but January, it's so far off, and. You know, even January, I'm not sure that you're going to have crowds, you know, back in the building. Or maybe at a certain capacity you will. Maybe they want to wait until they get to 25% capacity. They're talking about that in Florida. That could happen as early as this summer. Now, we could have Moxley and MJF it all out.
Before I go, you know, I want to just say that I respect the hell out of Sammy Guevara. This guy has taken the most bumps that I've ever seen anyone in AEW. I literally thought tonight that he was dead.
He's lucky he isn't. He's lucky he's okay.
Sammy Guevara loves to take bumps. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, he's a crazy man for agreeing to that. I don't know that I would be. I don't know that I would be so open to doing what he did tonight.
He is really due for a mid-card title. I know Cody doesn't like to use that word, mid-card.
Actually, you know what?
That...
You want to talk about bumps that never in a million years would I agree to something like this. And somebody in the chat will correct me if I have it wrong. I want to say it was Eddie Gilbert. Maybe it wasn't Eddie Gilbert. Maybe it was somebody else. But there was an angle in Memphis Wrestling back in the 90s with Jerry Lawler, and I believe it was Eddie Gilbert. They had this big feud. And Lawler, who was the babyface, I think it was Eddie, because it was Eddie and I think his brother Doug. He walks out into the parking lot, and there's Eddie Gilbert, and he gets into his car, and it's like, all right, separate these two. They're going to go their separate ways. Gets back in the car, and he drives towards Lawler, and he hits Lawler with the car. Just before the car hits him, Lawler jumps into the air. Like, just before the car hits him, he gets airborne. But they rammed him full force. So Lawler hits the windshield, bounces off the car, lands on the pavement, and, you know, the Gilberts drive off. And people called the police department. They called 911 because back then, I mean, it looked real. If you go back and watch it, it looks real. They called the cops to say, this guy just got hit in a hit and run. They sent the cops to go pick up, you know, I guess Eddie and his brother, who booked it out of there because they, oh shit, we better get out of here. You go on YouTube and watch that video, that is still one of the scariest things that I have ever seen. And how Jerry Lawler wasn't killed in that angle, I will never know. You want to talk about, he didn't get clipped, he got hit. He got hit, and he's lucky to be alive today. So for people listening who maybe never saw that, it just made me think of that when you were talking about that. Go look that up on YouTube. That is insane to go back and watch.
Sounds like Sammy was paying homage.
Yeah, maybe. Thankfully, it wasn't not quite to that degree. This was definitely a few notches below what Lawler did in that angle.
And lastly, I mean, it was so great to see Matt Hardy's creativity come to fruition. You know, I saw a guy who looked like a kid at a candy store just having fun, just being able to be creative, and I'm just happy for him. I'm happen for him or happen for, you know, just, you know, guys, you know, who were, didn't really get to be creative, you know, in the past, you know, just, you know, especially Matt, you know, I just love seeing it. It's a beautiful thing to see, but thank you for taking my call, and I, you know, was able to get everything out, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in. It was a lot to digest there, but thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Let me just play catch up. I know we had a few more super chats coming in. You guys are amazing. And actually, it was one of you guys who sent the super chats in that let me know about the New Japan news. Otherwise, I never would have known. So thank you to Dry Chicken Without Flavor for that. Orlando Orego, thank you for the $5. And I said, Florida Man is not offended. Future caller, take care. Well, I thank you for calling in. Paul Hamilton, he is one of the great supporters of the show. Portland pop star. You may have heard me mention his name on the full podcast sometimes. So thank you to Paul for the $30 Hulkamania drop. It says, Cross and Scarlett, their entrance on NXT was amazing. Everybody's been telling me how amazing this entrance was. When we're done here, I'm going to go back. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go back and watch this. The Best Gamer dropped a whole bunch of super chats here. Little donations here. Big fan since 2018. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. There he is again with the $5. Sean Turner, thank you for the $2. Says, you look sad. I feel bad. Here's two. I look sad. Why do I look sad? I look sad. Miro12004 says I look sleepy. Is it really that apparent? I am getting tired. So we're gonna wrap up here in a second. And the Best Gamer, thank you for the $2. Who do you like better, AJ Styles or Drew McIntyre? I like them both. I would not take the title off of Drew, but I do like AJ. So. How's that for a cop-out answer? How's this for a poll result? AEW, if it'll update. There we go. 1,500 votes, 83.7% thumbs up, and we have 16% thumbs down. Of course, on the other side of the ring, we have NXT. There we go. It still said 260 votes. 1,000 votes, over 1,000 votes. 66 up, 34 down. Hey, all these people telling me how great the entrance was for Cross and Scarlett. I would have expected that thumbs up to be even higher. Reconson, what's your area code? Tell me your area code. He's been waiting a long time. I feel bad. There's a whole bunch of people who have been waiting, but I feel bad. He says he's been waiting for a while. So let me take him here. I don't want him to go to bed upset. I don't want you to go to bed in a bad mood, so let me put you on the air.
No, you're fine. I have to defend my, you know, Solomonster AEW Wednesday night champion. So, you know, I have to be here.
This is what you've been waiting 90 minutes for on hold to get through and share with everybody.
My question is, so like if AEW did sign EC3, like how would you like group them up with MJF, or how would you differentiate them since they're kind of like similar characters?
Yeah, I don't know that I would associate them because they are very similar. EC3, he shaved his head. Maybe he's going to do something totally different. Let's see what his new character is. If he's just going to do EC3, I mean, we already have like a better version on the mic. Anyway, we have like a better version of EC3 already in AEW. I don't think they need a clone. So maybe he'll completely change his look. He'll change his character, and he deserves a shot somewhere. If it's not AEW, then hopefully it's in another big promotion because he never got a shot in WWE. I hope he gets a shot somewhere else.
And then another question. So I was watching a review the other week about WCW New Blood Rising, and Lance Storm, he was like champion, like, he had 3 titles at the time. He was, like, over, like, shit. So my question would be, like, if he was in wrestling now instead of back then, do you think he would be over, or would he still be, like, underrated or underutilized?
Who's that?
Lance Storm.
Oh, Lance Storm. Lance Storm is he's not a flashy guy. I think Lance Storm would be over at a certain level. I think there's a lot of gimmicks that failed back in the day that would be over like shit right now. I think Repo Man would be one of the most popular guys in wrestling. Like, the dumbest stuff gets over now so easily. And with social media and everything, you could take some of the corniest, cheesiest gimmicks from, like, WWF in the early to mid-90s. I'm not even talking Doink. Doink was a genuinely, evil Doink was a genuinely good character. But I'm talking, like, The Model, Repo Man, Akeem. Now, Akeem would, there'd probably be a lot of people who were offended by Akeem. But imagine this, like, big fat white guy comes out dancing like he thinks he's cool. Like, it would get over. So, I just think there are certain people who would be more over now. But Lance Storm was not going to be over at a level where you would expect him to be challenging for the world title. So I don't necessarily think that even today it would be all that different. But you know, he would have his fans. He'd do all right. He'd be okay.
Okay, no problem. And then one last question. Quick shout out to Octavia and Turtlehead. Love you guys. So what are your thoughts on this BS about the Murder Hornet, since we're in May and we have to have more fear into 2020?
Yeah, because we don't have enough of that as it is. I saw a picture of, supposedly it wasn't Photoshop. Somebody tweeted it to me, so you never know what's real and what's not. Someone tweeted me a picture of four queens. Queen Murder Hornets, these giant hornets from, I guess, Asia. Four of them. That, unless it was the hand of, like, a little person, which I'm hoping it was, because if not, we are fucked. But they had the four queens all lined up in this person, like, the palm of their hand. It sent a shiver up my spine. Thankfully, somebody chimed in and said, oh, those are queens. Those aren't the, like, the worker hornets that would be seen outside. Whatever. What are you going to do? Are you going to lock yourself in your closet for the rest of your lives? Just, you know, it is what it is. You know, if one thing doesn't get you, then the murder hornets will. Hey, it is what it is, right? What a way to go. What a way to go. See, I knew I was never a fan of the Charlotte Hornets back when they were an NBA team. I knew there was a reason why I didn't like that team. Now I know why. Now I know why. Tomorrow, there you see, Money in the Bank predictions. They are coming your way. They are coming your way. Chris in the chat, Chris Quillman. Yes, you did. You missed it. I did give you a shout out. Now I'm going to give you a second one because you're awesome. Thank you, Chris. But yes, Money in the Bank predictions are coming up tomorrow. Probably sometime in the afternoon. Probably go live. Maybe not. But I'll probably go live. And I hope you'll join me. Especially if you're bored, if you're at work on a Thursday afternoon, early evening Thursday. You got nothing better to do. Join me. We'll talk about this Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which, in case you didn't know, I know you've probably never heard this before. The risk is worth the reward. There's something you've never heard, right? Only about 1,000 times in the last few weeks. The risk is worth the reward, which, by the way, is a horrible tagline, given the circumstances and everything going on. Did they not think about this before they came up with this line? The risk is worth the reward? Really? I don't know about that one. I don't know that too many of the wrestlers on the roster would agree with that either. The risk is worth the reward. Holy cow. Hey, CJ, I don't know, probably like 3 o'clock, maybe? I'm thinking 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, sometime around then. Follow me on Twitter. Thank you, Mandy. Follow me on Twitter, and I will definitely keep you guys posted as far as when I may be going live tomorrow. So I just wanted to say this is the first time that we did a Dynamite stream on camera. If you guys enjoyed it, maybe we'll make it a weekly thing. If not, we can go back to the static image. That's fine. I got no problem doing that. I just figured we'd change it up a little bit. I go on camera for like the video mailbags and stuff. It's not like I don't do camera stuff. I was on camera for WrestleMania. I just figured, you know, I change things around here a little bit, move the camera around to a different position. Felt like, you know, this stupid hairdo with this freaking hair. I want to document this. I really want to. I've never gone longer than 6 weeks without a haircut. So this is going to be very interesting because this weekend I think is going to be 8 weeks or 9 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to look like at 12 weeks. I'm going to look like AJ Styles. I'm going to have like a soccer mom haircut. It's going to be curling here, Gonna have to put little like a little bow ties in my hair. I'll embarrass myself. I punched myself in the face earlier by accident. You think I give a shit? I'll embarrass myself. If it entertains all of you, it's fine. I got no problem doing that. Thank you. Thank you. Dry chicken without flavor, the final super chat of the night. Thank you very much for the $2. I'm going to get out of here. It's very late. You guys need to go to bed. Probably not, but you should. And I will see you guys if I go live tomorrow. And then, of course, on Sunday for episode 651 on Money in the Bank Sunday. That is Mother's Day. So happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there who may be listening here at 12:20 a.m. Probably none of you. And I will see you guys tomorrow. And I will see... Oh, we got one more super chat in here. Coffee, Brooklyn, New York. That's my New York accent coming in. New York. That's the Vince Russo. Bro. New York, bro. Come on, bro. Forget about it. Here, New York, bro. We got the super chat here, bro. Where'd it go? Shit. It disappeared off my screen. Hey, Solomon, I've been listening for 4 years. Love the show, brother. Thank you for the... There it is. There's the Seamus fan. I love that super chat. I love that. Thank you, Coffee. Coffee for Brooklyn. Thank you, New York. Peace. That's the end of the stream, guys. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Be safe. Wash your hands. Cut your hair. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Did you know that players of People's Postcode Lottery have raised over £500 million for charities and good causes? They've also won £63 million in prizes so far this year, and it could be your postcode next. Visit postcodelottery.co.uk/radio before midnight on the 21st of May to play in the June draws. PPL managed lotteries on behalf of good causes 16 plus. Conditions apply. Play responsibly.
Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.